I mentioned earlier in the week that the gospel, and this leading up to Christmas, we've been introduced to key characters of the nativity story: Zechariah, Elizabeth, John the Baptist, Jesus, of course. I also feel like at Mass each day this week, we've been introduced to a new seminarian returning home, and so I want to welcome back Deacon Jordan Dosh, who's a parishioner here at the cathedral. As many of you know, he was ordained a transitional deacon for the diocese in Rome back in late September. He'll be, of course, ordained a priest on May 31st, 2017, and so we're very blessed to have Deacon Dosh home with his family and home with us during this Christmas break, so be sure to say hi to him and be nice to him. There you go. So, welcome home. I almost revealed where he might go someday, but I don't know that. That's for the bishop to say, so we won't put this homily online. If you listen closely to our readings this morning, they're incredibly rich and deeply connected. And so if you happen to have a Magnificat with you or the Missal, I'd invite you just to look at it and to maybe follow along a bit this morning. But in order to understand the gospel, this Magnificat, Mary's great hymn of praise after receiving the message of salvation, going to Elizabeth, it only makes even more sense if we understand what she's repeating. So we have to go back to this first reading from Samuel and how Hannah, the mother of Samuel, was this woman who was unable to conceive a child. And she was greatly distressed at this. She shed many tears, as one could expect, in her inability to conceive. In fact, one day she was praying so fervently that somebody came up to her and said, "Hannah, are you inebriated?" Because her prayer was so heartfelt. She's being so honest with God about this incredible burden in not being able to conceive. But she made this promise to God. She said, "If I'm able to conceive a child, I will give him to you. He will be yours." In a short amount of time, Hannah conceived a child, and that child was named Samuel. And she did just that, and you hear that in today's first reading, where she went and she left him to the Lord. She said, "Here he is. I made this promise to you, and I'm going to fulfill that promise." And in God's own incredible providence, what did he do with Samuel? He made him a prophet, one of the first prophets of Israel, who went on to do great things for God. Now, in those days, what a prophet primarily did was they called kings. What do I mean by that? The first kings of Israel, Saul, David, Solomon, were called forth to be kings through a prophet. And Samuel had the privilege of calling forth these first two kings, both King Saul and King David. So the Lord used him in very powerful, clear, incredible ways. Now, after she conceived, she sang this psalm. Actually, it wasn't the psalm. The psalm today wasn't a psalm. Try that on for size. It comes from the second chapter of 1 Samuel. It's not a psalm. But what we read in the psalm today, not the psalm, what we read today was this hymn of praise that Hannah sang after she had conceived. It starts like this: "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn exalted my God. I have swallowed up my enemies. I rejoice in my victory." Sound familiar? Fast forward 1,000 years. Mary, after she conceives and goes to Elizabeth, proclaims her new hymn of praise, and in many ways simply replicates the same hymn of Hannah from 1,000 years before. Pretty incredible when you see those connections. How Hannah sang this hymn after Samuel, her own son, was conceived, who became this great prophet, who named kings, and now Mary sings this hymn of praise after she conceives, who will not only be a prophet, but who is the king. How God orchestrates all these things for thousands of years is incredible to imagine, and we get to reflect on it in Scripture. But what's at the heart of the Magnificat today is this humility of Mary. when she acknowledges that she's his lowly servant, that God has done great things for her, that she's lifted up the lowly, that she's filled those who are hungry with good things, that for Christmas to make any sense, everyone, it's essential for us to take on the posture of Mary, which is essentially a posture of humility, that we need God, that we're burdened, that we hunger for him, that we're lowly. Mary, the Mother of God, sang this hymn of incredible humility, and our job is to do the same. In order for Christmas to happen for us, let's take on a stance of humility, acknowledging God's greatness, acknowledging our need for him, acknowledging our hunger for him, but also acknowledging that he does in fact come.